And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew 27. Boys and girls, now I want you to set up and pay close attention. And Matthew chapter 27. Once you find Matthew 27, find verse number 24. Matthew 27, verse 24. And in a moment, we'll all stand together. Matthew 27. All right, let's stand if we could. Matthew 27, go to verse number 24, and I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. This morning, I announced the topic of tonight's sermon. It's called The Sin of Mocking, or The Sin of Mocking God. Matthew 27, start with verse 24. The Bible says this, "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered into the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. After that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." And let's pray. Spirit of God, give us liberty tonight. Not only, God, do I need you to control my thinking, my voice, and my words, I need you to control our perceptions, control our thinking, control our listening. May we listen in thy spirit as the preaching is in thy spirit. Bless us tonight. Help us to learn about this thing of mockery, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. What we just read takes place immediately before the crucifixion. Jesus is a prisoner. He had been taken to be judged by Pilate. Well, Pilate ends up washing his hands of the responsibility of this punishment of Jesus Christ. And boy, what a dangerous thing to say. But the people said, fine, let his blood be upon us and our children. Boy, they don't know how true that was. What a dangerous thing to say, yeah, we'll be mean to the Son of God and let it be upon us and our kids. But that's what they said. Pilate then releases the man by the name of Barabbas. They beat Jesus. Then Jesus is given over to the people that they might crucify him. The soldiers take Jesus to the common hall, which was a local common meeting place. They strip him of his garments. They take a blood-red robe and they place it upon him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a reed in his hand as a fake scepter. Then they bow their knee to him, and the Bible says they mocked him. They mocked him. They said, Hail the King of the Jews. Now see, what they're doing here, that robe they put on him was to picture royalty. But they don't believe he's royalty. They are mocking him. They're making fun of him. They're teasing. They're putting on. And that reed that they put in his hands, that was to mock him. That was a mocking scepter like a king would have. The crown of thorns. They weren't just trying to torment him. They were mocking him because they were making fun of him. You say you're a king. Well, let us give you a scepter. Let us give you a robe. They say you're a king. Let us put a crown upon your head. Then they bow down and they mock him. You have to understand. Have you ever seen children on a playground mocking one another? Now, that's exactly what was happening. A bunch of, and these were adults, but they were acting like children on the playground mocking God's Son. And that's where we find the topic of tonight's sermon. They were mocking Jesus. In Matthew 27:29, it says, "And mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews." In Matthew 27:31, the same words, and says, "After that they had mocked him, they took a robe." The Bible predicted, or prophesied, if you will, that they would mock him. Matthew chapter 20, verse 19, it is said that they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock. In Mark chapter 10, verse 34, again a prophetic verse, it says, and they shall mock him. In the Old Testament, in Psalm chapter 35, verse 16, it talks about hypocritical mockings that would take place in regard to the coming Messiah. God says mocking is a cruel thing. Hebrews 11, 36, it says, and others had trials of cruel mockings. God describes this thing of mocking as a cruel behavior. Now, what does it mean to mock? Well, it means to scorn. It means to laugh or to tease. It means to play at something that should be serious. A mocker might repeat something, but they don't mean it. They don't mean in word. They don't mean it in their life. There's a falsehood. They're making a joke out of something. Now, I looked up the word mock or mockery in the dictionary, and Webster's dictionary said it's to treat something or someone with contempt, or to ridicule someone or something. It's not taking someone or something seriously that ought to be taken seriously. They use the term to sport or have fun at somebody else's expense. Now, God teaches that in the latter times, there are going to be more and more mockers. And boy, is He right. There are more and more people that mock the church and more people that mock the Bible. There are more and more people making a mockery of marriage with the new so-called lifestyle. And some people say, well, it's an alternative lifestyle. It's a sinful lifestyle is what it is. But the Bible says in Jude verse 18 how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. You know, people who don't take holiness seriously and they play church instead of work at being a good Christian, that's a mockery of what Christianity is. God calls it mocking as the ungodly. You know, there is in religion today a lot of mockery of what pure Christianity ought to be. I happen to believe the new contemporary coffee shop so-called Christianity is virtually a mockery of the old-time religion. They're trying to make the old-time religion palatable to a lost and carnal world, and they're making a mockery of what church is really supposed to be about. I don't want our church to be filled with mockers. And to a degree, a mocker's a faker. A mocker's a person that acts religious, but they're not. They're almost making fun in their lifestyle of the real old-time religion. You know something? I want this place to be real. I don't want to play church. I want it to be real. When people get saved, I want us to realize there's a real heaven and a real hell, and by teaching them the gospel and them accepting it, that's a real thing. And I realize young people and children and new people come to our church, but I want them while they're here to stop and realize, you know what, I think that pastor right there, I think he means business about this. And I'm not talking about taking the enjoyment out of church, and I'm not talking about taking some fun and humor out, but in addition to the fun, I want them to understand something. We really do believe this book is God's Word. We really do believe there's a heaven, and we really do believe there's a hell, and we really do believe to live a certain way for the cause of Jesus Christ. And our church is not just a social gathering place where we all get together so we can have a little bit of fun and have a little social interaction. No, we're in church because God told us to be in church, and church is real to us. Now, so let's be careful. Mocking, I don't think mocking is always done with the mouth. Sometimes it's done with the life. It's done with the spirit, with the attitude. But let me talk to you about this thing. The sermon is called The Sin of Mocking God. First of all, I want to recommend to all of us, don't mock God. Don't mock God. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When it says God is not mocked, you say, what does that mean? It actually means that God won't be mocked and you won't get away with it. You don't mock God and get away with it. When you mock God's word, you're mocking God. When you live one way at church and another way at home, you're putting up a front. That's a bit of mockery. You say, well, I'll just start living at church the way I do at home. No, it's supposed to be vice versa. You sometimes you tell people, you ought to change the way you live so you're not living a double lifestyle, so they just decide to live wrong all the time. That's not what God had in mind. When you think you can sow to the flesh and get away with it, God said, I'll not be mocked. That is not going to happen. I don't want to be mocked. So God is telling you and I, don't mock me. Don't mock God. And remember, you have watched, I can remember one time watching my brother mock my mother thoroughly. My mother was standing and looking at me and somehow had found that I had done something wrong, and she was verbally lashing me to shreds. And she had her finger out and said, man, when my mom would get her finger out and point it at me, that thing was about 15 foot long, and she had that thing poking right at my nose, and then my little brother was right behind her. And my mom, she's just a little skinny, short thing, but I was scared to death. To me, she was like a linebacker for the Chicago Bears. And so she is just giving it to me, and my little brother is right behind her. And he's got one hand on his hip, and he's got his hip kind of twisted out this way, and he's got his finger out. And every time she'd fling her finger at me, my brother would fling his finger, because he was behind her. She couldn't see it. She would turn around, and he would stand there like this. She would go back to giving it to me, and he was right back at it, and he was having such a good time. But the thing that he failed to realize is behind me was a mirror. And he thought he was getting away, but Mom could see all. So you all know, God can see all. And God will not be mocked. So, don't mock God. Secondly, don't mock God's miracles. The Bible says in Acts 17:32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Here are some people that heard in the Bible about the resurrection and that God could get people up out of the grave and obviously raise Jesus from the grave, and they mocked. They teased about it. Let me tell you something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a real thing. If the Bible says God helps somebody to get up out of the grave, then God helps somebody to get up out of the grave. And you say, well, that would be amazing that you've got it. It is amazing. But you should not mock the miracles of the Bible. And we more and more live in a day where they want the Bible to end up being fiction, and they want the miracles of the Bible to just be these fantasy stories. Now let me tell you something. The trash out of Hollywood, that's a bunch of flunky, unbelievable stuff. But if God said that Jesus got up out of the grave, then Jesus got up out of the grave. And if God said that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, then Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. And if God said Lazarus was brought up from the grave, then Lazarus was brought up from the grave. And if God said there was a maniac called the Maniac of Gadara that gets saved in a flash, and the next thing you know, he's clothed, sitting, and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, then it happened. And if folks don't want to believe the Bible, that's their problem. But I'll warn both me and you and the ones that don't want to believe it, they better not mock it. God said, I'm not going to be mocked. Don't you mock me. It's a sin to mock God. So I don't think we ought to mock God, and I don't think we ought to ever mock the miracles of God. I believe in miracles. I believe that God does some marvelous, marvelous things. Thirdly, the Bible teaches that you and I should be very careful not to associate with mockers. I love this passage of Scripture. It's found in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah 15:17. It says, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. Thou hast filled me with indignation. Here, it says there was an assembly of mockers. You ever heard that old saying, birds of a feather flock together? The mockers, the ones that want to put up a front and that play, they're always searching for an ear. They're always searching for people that will join their little clique, maybe like a pack of wolves. But mockers kind of hope for an audience. They would kind of like to get attention. You know, if I were preaching to a group of young people and you get a mocker on the front row, one of the best things you can do is send them to the back row where they won't get any attention. But there are people that will mock. And here the in the Old Testament said, I didn't set with the mockers. You know what that means? I think it's literal. Didn't set with the mockers. You come to church and there's somebody by you that is mocking, I wouldn't sit by him again. And if it's bad enough, I'd get up and move. I think the Bible teaches you should not sit by a mocker, a person that is mocking the preaching and mocking the things of God. Hey, if you're at work, if you're and there are people that are wrongfully mocking, I try my best to stay away from them. You teenagers, you go to Youth Ablaze, and I hope we don't have any of this. I don't think that we do. But if you're a teenager and you go to Youth Ablaze and Brother Elswick's up there preaching, or it's a serious time and you're off in the corner mocking and teasing and making fun, the other teenagers, you may have to move. If I know Brother Elswick, he'll move somebody. But you're not to mock. Jeremiah even said, I didn't rejoice with the mockers. In other words, I didn't laugh with them. And that's where some of you will make the mistake. You say, preacher, I was not mocking with them. Yes, but you were laughing and you were showing your approval as they mocked. And that's a weakness too. Because this person in the Old Testament said, I didn't sit with them. I got away from them. And I didn't laugh with them because I wasn't going to show my approval. He didn't give the impression that he thought that they were cute. He was not happy with them. I didn't let them think that their mockery was entertainment. I can tell you something. I can almost tell you when a teenager in our church is heading down the wrong path. They'll be good in church and they'll pay attention. Then somebody comes and starts to goof off and play around in church. And before long, a good teenager, listen up here! A good teenager that used to pay attention is now in the process of becoming a mocker because somebody that they sat by is a mocker. And I'm preaching this sermon for a reason. And I raised my voice just a moment ago for a reason. I fear for some people. Because there are some that they're now associating with folks that do not look. When it's time to have fun, let's have fun. When it's time to laugh, let's laugh. But you don't choose to laugh and goof off and do your own thing when it's not time to laugh and goof off and do your own thing. It is a mockery to the things of God. Now, Jeremiah said, "I chose to sit alone rather than to sit around the mockers." Teenager. Listen, it is better to walk alone than to have friends that are mockers. I would rather not have that girl or have that boy as my personal friend than to be around them as they mock the things of God. Only one time, I've been the pastor here for about two and a half years. Only one time have I felt like there was somebody sitting in our congregation that was mocking. And it was a teenage girl. And I've gotten on her about it already. She's heard it from me. But you say, are you being mean? No, it's a very dangerous thing to mock. It's a serious thing to be a mocker. So, don't mock God, Galatians 6:7. Don't mock the miracles of God, Acts 17:32. Be careful associating with mockers, Jeremiah 15:17. And the Bible teaches you should not mock the man of God. Now I want to start off and tell you, I don't think there's anything special about me. I'm an average, everyday man, but I was called of God to be a preacher, and I have been placed in this church as the pastor. And so it's my job to teach with that in mind. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 36:15-16, it says this, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers," which is a preacher, "rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, but they mocked the messengers of God, and despise his words, and misuse his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against them, against his people, till there was no remedy." What happened is God had sent them a man of God, and they mocked that man of God. God gave them a man of God to have compassion on them. Now, I not because of who I am, but God sends us a man of God to help us, and it is God's way of being compassionate upon his people. But the Bible says here in this passage, they mock God's man. They despised his words. They mistreated that prophet. And the Bible tells us that God's wrath came upon them. And it got bad enough that there was no remedy. You say, what did it cause? Lifelong scars. No remedy means you're going to have a hard time getting rid of that. I'll never forget this. In high school, I ran some track. I ran cross country. I cannot remember if it was track. I can't remember if it was cross country. It might have been the basketball season. But I remember that we were running. We called them killer drills. JV, is there another term for it? Suicides? Yeah, suicides. We were running suicides. Well, the coach had us all in the gym, and we were all on the baseline, and we were getting ready to go. And the coach had done something, and I kind of got snotty. And the coach looked over, and he caught me. And he said, "Owens, I'm not going to make you run." And I thought, that's the berries. He said, "You go over to the bleachers and wait for me." Now, going to the bleachers was not a good sign. I would rather commit suicide on the court with those guys than go to the bleachers, because this is what he did. He put me at the bottom of the bleachers. Our bleachers were high. You could seat a lot of people in our field house. And what he said, "Owens, you're going to run up and down the bleachers in a moment. I'll blow the whistle, and you run up, then you run down, and you run up, and you run down. And I'll come back and get you when it's time for you to stop." So he blew the whistle, and I took off. And I figured, you know, three or four trips up and down. About 20 minutes later, I'm crawling up the bleachers. "Owens, move, 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 move." I ended up tripping and falling. I can't show it to you, but I have a scar on my leg. It's about this long. It's about that wide. I scraped it all the way through. I mean all the way through. I had to staple my leg back on, but I scraped it bad. It ended up getting infected. I have this scar on my leg. You can ask Mrs. Owen. She's seen it. It's there. I can't show you the rest of you because my legs are so nice. But I got this scar on my shin on the right side, and it'll never go away. I'm going to take that thing all the way to heaven. You know where I got the scar? From mocking. I got it from mocking. I'm going to tell you all something. You mock God, you mock God's man, you mock the wrong things, you'll scar yourself for life. You'll mess yourself up. The Bible says, then in 2 Chronicles 36, he talked about if you mock and you mock his prophet, his wrath will come and you'll be scarred. Then he said, therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans who slew their young. And then he says, there's no compassion. And he gave them all into his hand. In other words, you'll affect your kids. You're going to be conquered in life. There'll be a lack of compassion in your life. Why? This was about mocking the man of God. Many of you, and most of you, have heard the story or heard the scripture from 2 Kings 2:23. This has to do with mocking the man of God. It says there, and he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." Now, here's what happened. A bunch of children was mocking the man of God. You said, but Brother Owens, right there, it teaches you should not tease people about their hair or lack thereof. That's not really what that's teaching. It's talking about the mockery. The mockery. The Bible says these children mock the man of God. I wonder where they learned that. Did they learn it at home with mom and dad? Did they learn it by listening to mom and dad criticize and belittle and throw out all their opinions on the way home after church? And so now the children are independent and just repeating what they heard? I don't know where they learned it. But I can tell you this. God sent, the Bible says, two she-bears came out of the woods and tore those children apart. What was it? God was saying, don't mock the man of God. He said, don't mock me. Don't mock my miracles. Don't mock the man of God. Something that I've always believed, part of proper child rearing is teaching children how to respect the man of God, how to respect the miracles of God, how to respect the God of the miracles. Folks, did you know it is mockery to God? You shouldn't lie to the man of God. You shouldn't talk behind his back. And I'm not trying to protect myself. I don't think there's anybody here that's talking behind my back. I don't think there are people in here that are criticizing me. But I'll tell you this, according to the Word of God, if you do that, you're going to get yourself in deep. Psalm 105 verse 15 says, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. We're not to touch the man of God physically. We're not to hurt him, his ministry, his testimony. That's what God said. Now, many of you have heard that through the years. And I'm not trying to protect Jeff Owens, but I do have to make sure that my people are taught there's a proper behavior toward a real man of God. And if you don't behave that way, it will hurt you in the long run. We're not to mock. Then, number five, young people, listen to me very carefully. The Bible teaches you're not to mock your mom and dad. You are not to mock your mother and your father. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17 says this, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Did you notice it said the eye? Let me explain what that means. You can mock your mom and dad without saying a thing. Roll your eyes. Bat your eyes. He's saying we can tell your internal rebellion by the expression on your face when you've been asked to do right. And you shouldn't mock your mom and dad. It says despiseth to obey. You say, what does it mean, despiseth to obey? You know, you may obey your mother, but your attitude during obedience tells us whether it is heartfelt obedience or just surface obedience. You know, if your dad says, go sit down, and you say, yes, sir, and you go over and sit down, you obviously are obeying on the inside and the outside. But if your mom or your dad say, go over there and sit down, and you're like this, you've got to move the chair, and you sit down, you throw yourself in here like this. Okay, are you happy? You obeyed on the outside, but you're a rebel on the inside. And you are mocking in that obedience. It's a mockery. Now, I hope you realize there the Bible said you better be careful, because if you mock your mom and dad, you have a chance. And here it talks about that having your eye put out. Let me warn you, young people. Some of you are going to lose a limb. You're going to lose an eye, a finger, an arm, a leg, or a life because of the mistreatment expressed towards your parents. You say, what? How could that be so? All I know is here it is warning us not to mock our parents. And it mentions that someone could lose an eye. Don't deceive your parents. It's mockery. Now, parents, let me tell you something. I told you a moment ago, I think there's a chance that those children that were mauled by the she-bear, they learned to mock the man of God somewhere. Now, listen to this. Genesis chapter 19, verse 14, it says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this place. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Huh. Looks to me like Lot's behavior has turned into a mocking thing to his kids. Parents, let me tell you something. You live like the devil at home. You come to church and you put on your pious, we're going to church, act religious act. Your kids see right through that. And one of these days, you're going to want your kids to get serious about the Bible. They're going to say, oh, we're going to get religion now? I watched you for years, Mom. I watched you for years, Dad. The way you acted at home, and then you'd go to church and, amen, God bless you, hallelujah, love the Bible, go home, live like the devil. And one of these days, you're going to wish your kids would get serious about serving God, and you're going to seem as one that mocked to your children. Live right at home, parents, so your kids get the right impression. We're not playing a game. Christianity's real. And it's to be lived in the privacy of your home. Why? Somebody's watching. And they're deciding whether this is a real deal or it's a religious game. Is it mockery? So, the Bible teaches don't mock your mom and dad. But parents, don't give them ammunition with which to mock. Number six, the Bible teaches we should not mock the poor. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 5, it says, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker." Here, the Bible says if a Christian mocks poor people, it hurts God. It gives God a bad reputation. You know that God didn't create you to think that you're better than somebody else because you have more green pieces of paper. That's only a piece of paper. If you think because you have money, you're better than someone that does not, you're wrong. How much money you have does not make you good or bad. Not at all. But you know, there are people that actually look down on the poor. And God said, if you mock them, if you look down on them, he said, you are bringing a reproach to me in what real Christianity is. Listen, I'm glad when we watch those buses pull in out front. I'm glad when we watch little poor little boys and girls get off those buses. I'm glad they feel like this is their church. I'm excited when they walk in here and sit across the front here and get their name read that they trusted Jesus as their Savior. And let me tell you something. You say, that is so novel. There's not a thing novel about it in the world to me. They're just as important to this church as you are. We shouldn't mock the poor. You don't. Hey, and so let me tell you this. Don't tease poor people. That means you don't mock the bus ministry. You don't mock the jail ministry. You don't mock the special needs and people that have learning disabilities. God said, that's crude. That's rude. And he said, if you're a Christian and you mock those people, he said, it is a reproach to me. God said, that hurts me. You are a terrible representation as to what a Christian is supposed to be. So, we've learned that we're not to mock God. We've learned that we're not to mock the miracles of God. We've learned that we're not to associate with mockers. We shouldn't mock the real man of God. We should not mock our mother and our father. We're not to mock the poor. And folks, don't turn your sin into a mockery. You know, our sin, it's not small, it's big. It's against God. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin. Don't make a mockery of your sin. Your sin, it's not okay. You wouldn't believe, in all my counseling and all the years, everybody seems to think that they did what they did, but it's somebody else's fault. No, you did what you did, and it's your fault. Everybody wants to blame somebody for their misbehavior. We want to make a big deal about somebody else's sin, but we don't want to make a big deal about our own. But don't fool yourself. Don't mock your own sin. And probably, folks, the world gets stupid and they want to entertain you with sinful behavior. Be careful laughing at the world's sin. And do this. Can I tell you one of the best things for a church like ours? We believe in separation from the world. We believe that you ought to live different and you ought to be different. Do us a favor. Don't turn that into a joke. Don't turn that into a joke. And look, if the Holy Spirit ever convicts you of your sin, get it fixed. Use the altar. Confess it. Don't turn it into a mockery. How could we do that? Well, you know, we all know that once you get saved, you're always saved. You don't lose your salvation. But you turn the grace of God into a mockery when you think because you can't lose your salvation, it's okay for you to continue misbehaving. You say, well, I can't lose my salvation, so, you know, I'm going to heaven, so I can continue to do this sin or to do that sin. God said, don't you act that way. You are making a mockery of my mercy and a mockery of my grace. I think about the mocking that took place of Jesus Christ. It would be easy for me and you to say, okay, we're not to mock God, and I've never looked up to heaven and stuck my tongue out at God and saying, oh, are you the big bad God of the universe? You say, I would never do anything like that. But you know, there are other ways of mocking God that it's not just putting your hands on your hip and being a snotty, arrogant, proudful person that throws words toward heaven. There are other ways of doing it. You can mock him by mocking his miracles. You can mock him by laughing at people that are mocking him. You can mock by not getting the sin out of your life and living almost a dual lifestyle. Listen, mockery, according to the Bible, is a reproach to God. And so let's be careful. The Bible's very clear. We should not mock our God. And then he gives us a list of ways that mockery should not be practiced by the Christian. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, I welcome you to the Savior. Might I also say, if you're here this evening and you find yourself in that situation where you're around mockers, people that mock the Word of God and mock the church and mock the things of God, you might want to very kindly separate yourself. And then there might be some here that you're guilty of mockery. Remember, mockery is taking something lightly that ought to be taken seriously. That's your spiritual life. That's your holy life. And I don't think we're supposed to be living a facade. I think we're supposed to live right, in private and in public. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, I believe that God tonight has spoken to my heart. There's some areas that I really, really need to hear what was said. And God has spoken to me about something in my life." Would you raise your hand? And there are hands up. And God bless you. You may put those hands down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you feel free to come. There are children in here. You roll your eyes at mom and dad. Let me tell you something, that's a dangerous thing to do. You better be careful. Moms and dads, let's not give our children a chance someday to where they would say, "You seem as one that mocks. You live one way and now suddenly you're going to get serious and suddenly this is a real deal." Let's show our children reality within our home. What is a loving home? What is a good marriage? What is real Christianity? What is it? How sad the thought that there was Jesus Christ dying for their sin, and they put that mocking robe on him. Royal red robe. They put a stick in his hand to mock him with a scepter. They mock him with a crown of thorns. They actually get on their knees and start bowing down, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." All mockery. All mockery. Putting on a show. But in a more real and personal way, we too can put on a show. Do you say, "Jesus is the King of my life," but you don't let him run your life? What are you saying? "Hail, King of the Jews." When you come to church and you put on the "Jesus is my King" attitude, then you walk out the door, but you don't have "Jesus is King of my" attitude as you walk out the door. What are you doing? "Hail, King of the Jews." There's the King of the Jews. You're mocking. You're mocking. This is the last time through the song. Then we'll find our way home. Everybody look right this way.